Okay, this is going to be interesting. This next guest, here's how it goes down. I'm in San Diego. I went down there to see Johnny Walker. He was a guest earlier on the show. And I'm sitting at a bar, okay? And I look to my left, and Johnny introduces me to right there, Scott McEwen. Name sounds familiar. He says, "What are you?" And we started talking about the show. He's like, "Hey, I've been on your show before." I didn't remember. But long story short, Scott's sitting there. I have no idea who he is. We're at a bar. And lo and behold, he just happens to be, I'm just looking at it right here, the co-author of American Sniper. And so we start having this conversation. We get into it. He agrees to come on the show. And that's how it works. I mean, when you're in the Warfighter community, you never know who you're going to be sitting next to in a bar. And then they're going to end up on your show. And it's just kind of like that. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, I hope you're like not a 18-year recovering alcoholic and I just outed you on a bad night.
No, man, I'm a recovering lawyer. So, I used to be a lawyer, but I consider myself recovering from that now. Probably worse than alcoholism.
Yeah. I hear that takes a long time, and somehow you have to have an injection of a new soul. How's that transplant going?
It's going all right, man. I've been around a lot of guys that are the real deal. So I'm working my way towards the light.
Very, very good. Keep moving towards the light. Okay, people are going to want to know a lot of things. I'm just going to add, I don't really have interviews. I kind of have conversations. And here's part of the conversation I think would be pretty interesting. What's the number one question people ask you the most?
You know, I think one of the things people ask me about is Bradley Cooper's depiction of Chris Kyle accurate? I mean, as of late, I think it'd be a very, common question from the, different interviews, et cetera, different people, actually. And I respond, that I believe that the part that Bradley played was so unbelievably close to the mannerisms, speech patterns, movements, all the things that Chris really was. I mean, it was almost uncanny to see an individual like Bradley take on a part so deeply and so honestly that it was a real pleasure watching him not only upset but to see the final product that Damon Flynn put on the screen.
Yeah, it was good. Now, you obviously very deep into the book, very deep into the whole story. You knew Chris. What is your interpretation? What's your rendition? Like when people say, I'm going to ask you, how accurate is the movie to the book?
You know, I think it's difficult for anyone to say that the movie is, quote, accurate to the book. And the only reason I say that is that it's accurate towards the scenes that were depicted from the book and from his life. But, you know, when you take a book, which is 400 pages, and put into 2 hours, which is roughly 30 scenes max, you know, on a movie, it's almost impossible to redo one from the other. The best, and I don't say that in any way saying that the movie wasn't great. I believe the movie was great. But I do say that if you're going to do a book, you have to do a miniseries such as like Lonesome Dove with Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones. Now that, to me, was the epitome of taking a book that was an amazing piece of work by McMurtry and then converting it into a movie. But you need 10 hours. You need a miniseries to do it to really, take the different portions of a book and the story arc from a book and accurately take it and go to the big screen. We didn't have that kind of time. Clint Eastwood distilled that into an amazing work, in my opinion, and I think he really captured the essence of Chris and what his message was, which was support the troops. And, I really got, at the end of that movie, I felt happy not only to have been a part of it, but also to be an American and, to be proud of this country.
And we want to make sure we give a lot of respect right now and every time. Respect to Chris Kyle's family, respect to Chris Kyle, and also not forget Chad Littlefield that was also killed on the same day. I don't even know what to say. Just God bless you and safely rest. And your memory, you're the people behind this whole thing that America has attached themselves to. But so let's not forget about the person. Let's not forget about the human being that was there. And do you see that happening? I mean, do you see it almost like Chris Kyle becoming fictionalized at this point?
At times I think it's beyond fiction. I think it's almost like, the guys gave him the term legend as a joke. you know, because he really was a legend, but it was almost like, you know, those guys are always looking at each other like a lot of you guys in the military do, you know, on very serious subjects. And they're like, oh, here comes the legend, you know, but that's kind of the name that he brought on. But I think that his legendary status now got to the point where it's almost mythical in a lot of ways. It's almost mythical because you hear all these different things coming out and all this different stuff. And, you know, it's like, you know, I just look at it like the man is being respected, you know, and if somebody disrespects him, then I call him out on it. But otherwise, you know, if he's larger than life to a lot of guys, larger than life to a lot of people, and that helps support the troops, then you know what? He would have just smiled and just said, whatever. Let's support the troops any way we can. And if you want to talk my name and doing it, then I'm more than happy to put my name on that label.
Very, very nice. And now, if I got two questions, and you can answer them at the same time if you want. But the number one question, you're watching the movie, and all of a sudden the movie's done. And there's got to be, on some level, two things. One, what you really, really, really wish would have been in there. And two, what you think, I would have left that out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that at the end, and, you know, I don't know why he did it. And I saw Jason's explanation the other day, and I really haven't talked to him about it. But at the end of the movie, there was a scene where Chris had, you know, a revolver that he was kind of walking around with and in everybody's direction. And number one, I've seen Chris. I was out with him on multiple occasions shooting, you know, guns from everything from, you know, magnums to you know, the pistols. Chris just wouldn't have done that, you know. And so, I mean, Jason said it's a forecasting of a future, like, you know, very, very dangerous event that was about to happen. And, you know, and I don't know that part of it, maybe I would have done differently. And I haven't had a chance to discuss that with Jason. So, listening, I apologize for not discussing it with you already, but, you know, I would have done that differently. And then there was another scene in there that I liked that didn't make it to the end that involved, you know, a scene that was a full-on firefight with Metallica playing because, you know, like a lot of you guys like to listen to pretty heavy metal, and it was kind of like one of those scenes where you lay it down and listen to, you know, Enter Sandman, and I really liked that scene, and it didn't make it through the cutting floor, and I just would like to see that scene, and maybe it'll be out in the director's cut.
That would be good. Were there a lot of scenes? I mean, some movies have more than others. What was the theme of the scenes that got deleted, and why do you think they left that out? I mean, was it more important than you than maybe they than it? Was well, it was you it know, important to you in a way that it wasn't important to them, and it was integral to the story?
No, I don't think it was integral to the story, particularly not the story, the aspect of the warrior that's being told, but. I mean, I just know a lot of these guys as teams, and, you know, and I know what they're like, and I know what they're in the middle of things, even if it's a battle, you know, a firefight, you know, they could well have their blowing up a building instead of putting on earmuffs when you're about to, you know, detonate the C4 in the front door. They'll put on their headphones and, you know, and be playing rock and roll and watch it detonate and then have a video of it. I mean, there's some relatively crazy stuff that I've seen, you know, from let's just say not released videos from the teams, and you know, and I just wanted to get a feel for that in that one scene, that almost like, you know, like, here we go, we're on stage, now let's go rock and roll, because this is what we do. We just need to look at each other, we got hand signals, we don't need to talk, we act off of each other, we act off of what the other guy does, and we're that good as gunfighters that we can do that. And that to me was an amazing part of getting to know how the SEAL teams operated. I would have loved that scene just to give people a glimpse of that part.
That's a very good point. You know, yeah, when you're out there doing the same thing all the time, even though it's life and death, you really are a single unit. Everything, everything just kind of really just happens, and it's beautiful. It's the purity of it is intoxicating. This is Tipping Point with Boone Cutler. We'll be right back with Scott. We'll talk a little bit more about the book and the movie American Sniper. This is Tipping Point, Boone Cutler. Sit your ass in the seat. We'll be right back. We are back. Tipping Point, Boone Cutler. Let me turn on my sound here so I can hear myself. We're back with Scott McEwen, author co-wrote American Sniper. We're talking about the book. We're talking about the life of Chris Kyle. We're talking about the movie. Two questions. First one kind of looks like this. A lot of haters have come out. A lot of haters. Well, we'll save that for the next question. This first question, is there anything in the book, like right now, that you, because I mean, I wrote a book. There's stuff you put in, there's stuff you don't put in. Is there anything that got put in that you wish wasn't there?
Well, I mean, frankly, this whole conundrum over this Jesuit turd crap could have been avoided, you know? I mean, it really could have been avoided, and I, frankly, did everything I could to avoid it, and we didn't put his name in there for a reason. It being 2.5, 3 pages out of 400, and we didn't even nickname his name at all, and, you know, I know a lot of the guys were drinking there that night, and I know the trial was a mess, and I felt was not done the way I would have done it and everything else, but if I was to rethink anything, I would have impressed even harder on the powers that be that it was such a small, stupid part of the entire story. It really made no sense whatsoever to even put it in at all.
Interesting. Good point, and thanks for the honesty. People will bat that one around for a little bit. Now, the next question, speaking of haters, speaking of people that can't keep their mouth shut and don't know what they're talking about, there's a few of them out there. Michael Moore, Seth Rogen, what's that jackass?
Alec Baldwin.
Bill Maher. All these guys. In your opinion, nobody can say what another man would say. Nobody can say what another man would think. But in your opinion, how do you think Chris would be responding to that right now if he was still with us?
Probably could just smile at him and, you know, and basically say, look, you know, if you want to dislike me or what I'm about, that you have at it, I can take the criticism as much as you want, but if you want to disrespect the troops, then, you know, I got issues with that. And there's a big difference between these guys, you know, saying that they think that, you know, disagree with, you know, the war, or disagree with war, you know, that's fine. You got your right to do that. You got your opinion to do that. But if you want to look at the troops and say that the troops, the men, the women that actually put their ass on the line and went out there and fought, that you're going to disrespect them by calling them cowards or calling them X, Y, and Z, then, you know, those are pipelines, you know. So I don't think he would have gone well at all with the attack on the troops in general. That attack on himself, Chris was a great guy. He didn't get upset about people, you know, talking small talk or anything else. It wasn't his style. He was bigger than that. He was, you know, he was better than that. And I've seen him walk away from situations where people said things in bars. And Chris would just smile at him like, you know, dude, you don't know how close you just came to having your throat punched. So just leave it at that, and we'll agree to disagree.
Yeah, that happened a couple nights ago. I want to thank you for interceding there, too. It was very kind of you playing the UN there. Yeah, you saved a life. Long story short, let's get this out there. We only got a minute. Actually, I'm gonna kind of roll this a little bit, but we're at the end of the show. I got to ask the question because people want to know, and it kicks around all the time. Conspiracy. Eddie Ray Ruth. Disturbed guy. I mean, I'm not going to go with the whole PTSD thing because a lot of people have PTSD. There's a difference between a PTSD and a psychotic break. But the conspiracy side of it, people are like, he was brainwashed and there's a hit on Chris Kyle because, you know, Chris was going to start training people to put guns in schools and all this other stuff. And he was pro Second Amendment. What are your feelings on that?
I don't see it. I was in Texas for the funeral. I spoke from everybody from the Dallas police chief to the cousins of Eddie Ray Ruth. And I spoke to them directly under the idea that possibly there was something that was being done that might have, you know, smelt of a conspiracy. And I wasn't alone. There's a lot of team guys that were with me, some guys from Six, a few other places that were very good at smelling a rat. And, you know, none of us could see it. This guy had trouble before he went to the military. He had trouble while he was in the military. And he had trouble when he was out of the military. He had been charged with crimes before he ever went in. And my problem is, those guys are out there suffering from PTSD. This did not happen with PTSD. This is not a PTSD event, in my opinion. This is an event of a mind that is probably, you know, sick, but that doesn't give him the right to kill my friend. And this is not a PTSD event, you know. And if God wants to forgive this guy, so be it. I don't.
Yeah, it was not a PTSD event. As far as I know, there were at least three guys on that range that day that had PTSD, and one of them had a psychotic break or was just a criminal. And, yeah, I've had guys reach out to me and say, hey, Eddie Ray Ruth was a dirtbag before the military, and for some reason he got through, and, you know, Chris and Chad were just trying to be righteous and do something good for a fellow warfighter that was that they just thought was struggling. And so sometimes it just is what it is, and – you know, and what it is, well, you know, no matter how you look at it, it just sucks. But
exactly, it's just bad.
Yeah,
sometimes God does weird things, and I don't understand it. Maybe someday when I get to talk to Chris again and somebody else, maybe they'll be able to explain it to me, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, thank you for clearing that up and for just hitting it head on. That's what it is, and now people can permeate that, and maybe we can start looking at other things. I got to kick out of here, man, but it's great having you on the show. We'll have you back again.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. Good meeting you, and keep up the good work. Keep the word out there. I really appreciate shows like yours, and, you know, let's support the troops, man. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what Chris was about. That's what American Sniper's about. It's about supporting the men that support us.
I love it. Thank you so much. This is Tipping Point Boone Cutler reminding everybody, get off the zombie dope and learn how to cope. Take the Spartan Pledge. What else do I say, Sean? Help me out, man.
There's two things every warfighter needs.
There's two things every warfighter needs to survive in any operational environment. That's a battle buddy and a mission all the way. Good show. Make it happen.
What? What the f*** is this? Oh, hell no. Let me call my warfighters over.
Red cone one, music.
Hey, yo, bro, what's up, man?
Soldier Heart. Yeah, you got a minute?
Yeah, what's up?
Let's have one response for the warfighter community, and then we'll give these trolls their full measure of neglect.
Okay, I'm gonna call up SDOT real quick.
I'll be there in about an hour.
Too easy.
Back again with a pen and a notepad. When I'm done, Michael Moore gonna need some Prozac. Still speaking on a topic he don't understand. But he ain't never been to war in a foreign land. I bet his uncle in his grave doing somersaults. He done got the wrong warfighter pissed off. Now it's time to blast off on this clown. Let the whole world know you run your mouth, it's going down. I don't think you really know what a coward is. And honestly, you just sound like a sour beer. I'm getting tired of celebrities running their mouth, especially when it's something they know nothing about. As for you, Seth Rogen, this a warning shot. Got them sweating like Michael Moore trying to do a squat. First off, close your mouth and please pay attention. It's time to have another warfighter intervention. You don't know what it means to wear my dog tags and see your brother sitting